Jesus Christ is our creator. Let's start with John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Basically, the Holy Spirit, as we continue to ask, seek, and knock for revelation, we will be revealed more about the person and divinity of Christ. I believe as I was beginning to read the book of Genesis, the Holy Spirit stopped me at certain verses. I believe gives us an insight that he is our creator of all, as it states in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. It says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, that is, by his activity, and for him. And he himself existed, is before all things. And in him all things hold together. His is the controlling cohesive force of the universe. This passage claims with assurance that Jesus is the foundation of all that exists in this world and universe. Without him, we would not exist. Everything holds together by him and through him. This is an amazing verse in itself and a powerful statement, because they are affirming him as I am, the one who is, was, and is to come. Omnipresent, omnipotent, creator of all. Amen. So next, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. It says, in the beginning, God created by forming from nothing the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, or a waste and emptiness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Primeval ocean that covered the unformed earth. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the water. Now, please keep in mind when it says the Spirit of God was hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. This, I believe, is a significant verse we can use to validate what the Holy Spirit is testifying to us about Jesus Christ. Now, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, make man in our image according to our likeness, not physical, but spiritual personality and moral likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, and over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. Notice that man, which is Adam in Hebrew translation, meaning mankind, did not have flesh and bones, right? Man didn't have flesh and bone yet. Remember, God is spirit. And in the same image and likeness, he first created our spiritual body before our fleshly body. It says in Ezekiel 12, 7, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Therefore, what did Jesus restore when he died on the cross and rose again on the third day, giving us the Holy Spirit that testifies of him? It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entirely blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he restored our spirit, which was made in the image of God. Let's take a look at the word image and likeness for a brief moment. In the Old Testament Hebrew lexical dictionary, image and likeness means tselem. The word image is translated from the Hebrew tselem, and it means shape, resemblance, figure, shadow. Think about this. God said, let us make man in our shape, the external form, contours, or outline of resemblance, have qualities or features, especially those of appearance, in common with, look or seem like, figure, a person's bodily shape, and shadow, a dark area or shape produced by a body coming between rays of light in a surface. See, we are a shadow of the light of God, which Jesus calls himself the light of the world. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Amen. This is telling us that God created us in his external features in bodily shape. Very interesting. Okay. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. It says, then the Lord God formed, that is, created the body of man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being, an individual complete in body and spirit. So number one, God formed, which formed means to form, fashion, frame, dress man from the dust of the ground. Number two, God made man in his image and likeness, spirit man. Then he fashioned or dressed man from the dust of the ground. Number three, so God covered the spirit man with a body made from the dust, breathed his life in our nostrils, making us become a living being. So here's what we have so far. God made us in resemblance of him, shape, shadow, reflection of him. God is spirit, which he first made us as spiritual beings, spirit man. So think about it. If we are made in the resemblance, shape, or shadow of God, wouldn't that mean God also has a shape? Getting closer to Jesus, right? God formed, fashioned, dressed us from the dust of the ground. If we are in the image and likeness of God, wouldn't he use himself as a blueprint? Good question. A father who raises his children will raise them as he is, in resemblance of him, as a blueprint. For us to have a bodily formed the way it is, it must have a source. Isaiah 65:8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. The point I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to make is that the Spirit of God who was hovering, brooding over the face of the waters, who made the heavens and earth, who created us in his resemblance, is no other than Jesus himself, who was there from the beginning before the world was. Oh man, amen. Before being incarnated, he had a spiritual form and shape that we are reflected by. I hope that you understand that. Coming back with the previous verse in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning, God created by forming from nothing the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, or waste and emptiness, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. Remember, the Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding. Okay? This verse comes in line with the New Testament passage of Matthew 14, verse 26 to 27, when Jesus is walking on water, which one of his miracles affirming his divinity as the Son of God. Let me repeat that. This verse that we're going to read in Matthew 14, 26, 27, when Jesus is walking on water, which is one of the miracles that he's affirming his divinity as the Son of God. Okay. So Mark chapter 6, verse 48 to 51. He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. This is Jesus. And would have passed them by. And when they saw him, Jesus, walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked to them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, Jesus, do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Now Matthew 14, 25, 33. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not fear. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you little faith, why do you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, Jesus, saying, truly you are the Son of God. They affirmed it. So from these two passages, number one, Jesus walked on the water, which no man could, except God himself. Number two, the disciples saw him and thought he was a ghost, which in Greek means phantasma. It means an appearance, apparition, phantom, or spirit, where we get the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit form. Okay. Number three, they acknowledge that Jesus is truly the Son of God. Jesus is sharing the same nature, divinity, sovereignty, authority, honor, and power as his Father. See, Jesus always went back to the Old Testament to prove his point. Let's read Genesis 1, verse 1 to 2. It says, Spirit of God was moving, hovering. Who is the Spirit of God? Jesus did not walk on water just to walk on water. The revelation here and miracle, as the disciples understood, is that this miracle was to refer to them to Genesis 1, verse 1 to 2. The same God who was hovering the waters is the same that you see as the man incarnated, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is God, our Creator, who has made the heavens and earth, who made us in his image and likeness. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, 17. Again, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created and exist through him and for him. And he himself existed and before all things, and in him all things hold together. In Jesus' name, amen.